coming up on Thunder Pop.
Okay, brother.
This is a Thunder Pop Extra. In this episode, we're going to talk about kind of an extension of our last podcast, actually, where we talked about the shutdown of the movie theaters across the country. Well, the movie theaters is not the only thing that's been shut down. The restaurants is not the only thing that's been shut down. Businesses is not the only thing that's been shut down. Also, sports has been shut down. And that's weird because never in, like, I mean, in my lifetime, we had 9/11 19 years ago, but they didn't shut down sport. I mean, shut down sports for like 2 days maybe, but then we had NFL like the weekend after to kind of take our mind off of what was going on in the world. So I thought it would be really cool. But then I noticed this happened, though. It's not completely without sports because we actually had wrestling this past weekend. They went ahead with WrestleMania. And it was really weird because they had WrestleMania with no live audience, which is weird. And I didn't know if they were going to be able to pull that off. I've read some pretty positive reviews online, but I wanted to have my friend Billy from L.A., who's a huge wrestling fan and has been in wrestling himself. Correct, Billy?
Yes, I have. How you doing, Steve?
And Billy joining me via Skype from L.A.,
via satellite.
L.A., the city of angels, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what they say.
I'm wearing a mask right now just to be safe over COVID-19.
You got the mask on.
I got gloves on too.
Even on Skype, he wants to make sure he doesn't get COVID from anybody on Skype.
You got to. It's getting crazy over here, man.
That's the next thing you know. It changes every week. Ways you can.
It changes every day, man. Because my brother's going to the doctor. He just has hip surgery, so we're going every day. And I'm noticing things on the street, or even at the nurses at the hospitals every day. They got like an extra piece of like today. Like in the beginning, they didn't have a mask on or anything. Now it's the next couple days they started wearing masks. Then gloves, and then like now they have like a whole shield on their forehead, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna take their lead and follow what they're doing as well. So I'm doing all that as well.
Next thing you know, like tomorrow, you're gonna go in there and they're gonna be dressed up like Boba Fett or the Mandalorian. They're gonna have full armor on.
Yeah, remember that bubble movie where the bubble boy, where he's just running around in a bubble? I think that's how I should come out, but I don't know. Yeah, it's getting crazy. And I'm touching elevator buttons with toothpicks and, you know, like popsicle sticks. I'm not trying to touch anything. And as soon as I get home, I throw my clothes in the shower and I mean, in the laundry.
Yeah.
All that. I'm doing everything I can. It's a stress. It's a big stress. And, mm-hmm. and when I see other people not taking care of themselves, you know, it bothers me a lot. And, but I try not to get too bothered and just make sure that we do what we can do and hope that everybody else does. But, you know, you still see a lot of cars on the streets, LA, it is a lot slower. I mean, you still see people out there, but it's slowly, you can see people are taking the precautions day by day more and more. So they are taking it a little more seriously.
Well, and California was one of the places. Now, I don't think anybody's been hit in the U.S. I don't think any place has been hit as hard as New York, but California has had a pretty rough time as well. L.A. is not an easy town to shut down. Completely shut down. Some of these places, you know, some of these smaller towns can become pretty desolate pretty fast, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, L.A., that's a tough place to shut down completely. So, like you said, traffic's a lot lighter. A lot of people are working, doing the Zoom thing from home, from home. But people still have to go out. Like, people that have jobs that are, you know, jobs of necessity still have to go out. I've been thinking about you, and I'm really sending all my positive
No, I appreciate
thoughts,
that, man.
Thoughts your way. It's really tough.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it is tough. But it's just, you know, unfortunately having New York be the epic center is actually, it doesn't, you know, normally I think California would have been like not as scared, but seeing that New York, that kind of seemed like an untouchable place, and seeing how it is, you know, it makes us scared. It definitely makes us scared. So, I mean, it makes me scared. Like, I'm like, whoa, I've never been to New York, but. Just seeing all that, it's just, man, I feel bad for them, and they have about 80% of everything. So, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, when you see, you're like, well, if that can happen to them, then that can happen to us.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then I live in downtown, by downtown, I'm 10 minutes from downtown, so LA can get pretty packed. You know, California is pretty big and spread out, but
right.
Los Angeles in general, there's a lot of people here. So, you know, it's not totally shut down, but they're not all on the streets either. And you see everybody, like, as you drive by them, they're wearing masks on and mm-hmm. people outside. You're still wondering why they're outside. You're hoping it's because of work and other reasons, but they told us this week for California it's going to be our toughest week and for the elderly not to go to the stores and all that stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, I worry about my mother too. And that's another thing. And, you know, she's worried about her son. I'm worried about my mom. You know, and it's just like, it's a big stress, man. It's very stressful. But, you know, like you were talking about, I got to give it to WWE and throwing WrestleMania this weekend. You know, we do need the entertainment, but we don't, you know, hoping that they don't. You have to look at it what it is. You know, they're trying to entertain us with no fans. Wrestling is, you feed off of the fans when you're a wrestler, but also you can tell a good match by turning on the volume on the TV and watching it, and you can still see it, and you can tell that it's good. So it's possible, and they did a good job this weekend. I mean, it wasn't the best, but there are other companies as well that are doing indie feds, and mm-hmm. I'm currently watching another federation called AEW, and they're doing a great job, and they're, you know, so it's possible. They did a good job this weekend. I liked it.
I think they did about as good as they could do, or that they could hope for, considering the circumstances.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they had about 80% of the matches were in the ring, and they had two matches because of the circumstances that they made it into kind of like a B-side movie almost. Like it was pre-recorded. They had cut angles. They had music. It was very theatrical. And The Undertaker had a match, and John Cena had a match, and they were really good. They're done really well, and it was scripted. And I think that's going to open up a kind of a little more opportunity for them. So not only are they helping us out, I think they're actually getting ideas for future stuff, because wrestling's been on forever, man. I think Raw, WWE Raw, it's mm-hmm. one of the longest playing shows in cable television, like consecutively, you know, and they've been doing this forever. And they're like Days of Our Lives in soap opera, because they have to write the stories, they have the storylines. It's not always all good. So this is going to create mm-hmm. a whole new level that I think it'll be exciting once you have the fans back in there. But, you know, more power to them for bringing us entertainment this weekend. One weekend that we cannot think about stuff.
Yeah, there's no baseball right now, which we would have already had to kick off of the baseball season. No NBA, no NBA right now. It is March. Nope. We would have had March Madness right now going on.
I think it was NBA that kind of started all the sports from, well, the NBA, once it got the people from Utah testing positive, I believe that's when they shut down. And then
that's kind of where it started, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so that's going on. You being from LA, a big sports town, the Dodgers, mm-hmm. the Lakers, the Clippers, the LA Chargers. No, just kidding. But anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm a Laker fan, and 2020 hasn't been good, especially with Kobe going. You know, like if the pandemic and COVID-19 would have came a month earlier, we probably still have Kobe on this earth. Unfortunately, but you know, he wouldn't have been going out to no games. It's just weird. It's just been a very depressing year for LA, I guess, for basketball.
It's been tough for NBA this year because you have the Kobe. Yeah, you do have the Kobe Bryant, the biggest name in the sport.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, that was a whole different level of experience in LA too, man. I grew up watching the Lakers in the '90s and like Nick Van Exel and a lot of the. And then they traded Kobe. They traded Vlade Divac for Kobe, and I was like, "Who the hell is this kid?" But then I started falling in love. And then, So I've watched his whole career, and when he passed, man, woo. And then plus I followed him afterwards, and it hit pretty hard. And you could tell in LA, there's all these murals, and the city was sad. And you saw it in different sports too. Everybody was they were feeling it.
Yeah, no, it went all over the place. It transcended and went all over the place. But here's the thing. So you got that happens in February, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, can't get any worse than that. Well, it can't get much worse than that. In March, the whole season's canceled because there's a pandemic.
Right. Well, then the Lakers start playing good, And, you know, we're getting into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, whether we're going to win one for Kobe this year, and then, boom, as soon as the Lakers are in first place, and, of course, the season has to get canceled or postponed.
Yeah.
So it's like we can't catch a break on that one.
So let's hit that for a second. You being a big NBA fan, Laker fan, this is going to be a great year in the NBA because you had two LA teams doing probably potentially going to play each other in the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
Very good chance for a chance to go to the NBA Finals. And when that I'm aware of in the history, has there been an all LA Western Conference Finals? Has there?
I don't believe so. Matter of fact, I'm not much of a Clipper fan, but I try to avoid any of their stats or anything, you know, or the competition. But like I always look at it as they're having their selfies up on the board on the Raptors and the Lakers having the championship. So it would be nice, but I don't know. No matter how bad the Lakers were, I'd never became a Clipper fan. But it would be awesome for the city of LA, though, and it definitely brought back. I got to give it up to LeBron James. You know, I wasn't much of a fan before, but if you look at his history or the type of person he is, he's a good person, man. He fell in love with his high school sweetheart, and got to give him the credit where the credit's due. And but yeah, it would be exciting. The Clippers are going to I believe they're making a new arena for them in at the Great Western World in Inglewood, I believe.
Oh, where the Forum was or still is?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what it is. So they're going to be out of LA. That should make a little, because all their home games are at Staples Center, and it's a lot of Laker fans there.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? It's kind of awkward. It's like they're couch surfing on the Lakers' couch.
Yeah, but I did see the first game of the season. It was the Lakers versus the Clippers, and I was like, for the first time in a while, I felt that playoff intensity. I was like, okay, I can start feeling the goosebumps.
Uh-huh.
You know? It felt good. It felt good.
Like there's actually something going on, some energy.
Yeah. You know, they don't tell, because they downplayed a lot, but you can see that, you know, Kawhi's trying to be the king of LA, and, you know, LeBron's trying to do his thing, and
this will be
fun.
This is, I'm not a Clippers fan either, and it's because my guy that was a Spurs player, Kawhi Leonard.
Your boy Kawhi, yeah.
He bailed on us. And I didn't like how he did his dirty like that.
I hear your boy Skip Bayless talking about that all the time.
Yeah. But anyway, in your opinion, are we going to get the NBA back going this year sometime?
Yep. Oh, man.
And I'm not talking about next season. I'm not talking about next season, which would start in November.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this season. Are they going to try to? Because I've heard different rumors. I heard the possibility of them maybe doing where we were talking about this with baseball also, where they may take all the teams and play in one city for the rest of the year, and like maybe take them to Las Vegas and do like kind of a thing like that.
If they do that with baseball, if they do what they're doing with baseball, that's what they want to do with baseball. Bring it and start off the season in May, and they're going to keep it in one season, and then we got the UFC trying to isolate his thing, but he's getting the COVID-19 tests. I don't know how he secured them. If they can do that, I think they can do it in the NBA, because then you secure that the players are going to be safe and whatnot. But other than that, I don't really, you know, it depends on the city, the state, and all the regulations that are going on. But if they can do all that, it can happen, because there's not that many games left.
No, and you know, the NBA always gets criticized for the season being too long anyway. I actually think they could benefit from this big from this break. I think there could be a better quality of basketball when they come back if they shave off some games and not try to get them all in, even though they've been on a break. If they don't try to get them all in and maybe let's let it be and let's shave off a month and not try to do makeups of those weeks we missed. The playoffs could actually be better than they normally are, because I think everybody will be rested.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and And the opposite for baseball. I think baseball has way too many games. 162 games.
So same thing. Way too many games.
They could definitely shed some games. But and then the Lakers or the NBA. Yeah, I think the Lakers' record was about. I think it was 49-14 or something. Mm-hmm. So that what's that like 65 mm-hmm. or 63? Yeah, 63 games. So yeah, only about 20 games left.
Well, there wasn't going to be that much of a shift. I mean, it was going to be the same teams, even if you kept playing or you didn't. I mean, we all knew who was going to be kind of the best four or five teams mm-hmm. anyway, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't going to change. Yeah. The only thing that would have changed is you might have had a little bit, like on the lower tier teams, that like right. your seventh seeds or the teams that are barely kind of on the bubble, that had a potential of changing and shifting some. But the top tier teams, the teams at like the top four or five, they weren't going to change any. So,
no. You know, if you can get all the players to agree, and everybody has a full squad, I think it'll be good. I mean, you can do it, but if you have some people whose family don't want them to play for any, and I'm sure they're going to be allowed to not play if they don't want, then you're going to open up something like, well, whatever, the Clippers didn't have a full squad or something like that, or the Lakers, and then it'll be so. It has to be everybody's got to be in.
Yeah, you got to have all sides in, and then you got to have some confidence, kind of. And they're not gonna do it. I don't think anybody's gonna make a decision until May. Baseball has actually got a little bit more flexibility on how long they can hold out. And they can start baseball in June. They can start it. They can start it in July and have a half season because they did that. They had a strike years ago, and they missed a good port. I think they missed like a big chunk of the season, didn't they? Baseball.
They did. Yeah. Oh yeah. Man. Yeah, I mean, right now they just missed out on a lot of the preseason. But other than that, I mean, you know, during the season, they half of the team sits out middle of the week anyways. You know what I mean? They're like, you know, they're resting most of the whole year. Go ahead.
No, I got a couple ideas I want to run by you, though. I got a couple ideas. Okay. First of all, I remember as a kid years ago, there was an NFL strike, like a holdout, like a lockout. Like mm-hmm. They call it a lockout. And the lockout went on for a while, and it went on into the start of the season, and they had to actually start the season with like makeup players. Not the actual players.
So like the Triple A teams or whatever, or the minor leagues.
Literally, they had started having tryouts and getting like dudes off their couch to come in and fill in for the actual real players. So you had these teams that had these no-name guys play with beer bellies. Look at YouTube at some time. It's hilarious to see that year that they had the makeup players. And it went on. They let that go on for like one game, maybe two. And then they were like, this is enough. We'll give them whatever. We'll give you whatever you want. Sport. Huh?
Yeah, no. This is damaging the sport. We need to pay you what we need to pay you.
So
yeah, I got you.
So here's my thought on the case of football getting started on time. If they start a little late, it's not a big deal. Why don't you just put in people that are already go and recruit guys that are already coronavirus positive, and just do a whole league of corona positive football players for the first
league.
Yeah, for like the first month, to just have a coronavirus positive league. You could do that if you have to with baseball too. Just have a coronavirus positive league players. I'm sure
winner gets to live, or what's going on here? I don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys gonna be coughing and stuff while they're out there trying to play football. But I mean, give them some medicine, give them some malarian drug or whatever it is that they're talking about in the news, and push them out there and say, hey. You're gonna get paid. You're gonna be on TV.
Take care of your family. You know you're probably gonna pass away anyways. You might as well get some money in.
Hey, go out as a NFL football player,
entertaining the crowd. Yeah, man. That's my idea. Hey, man, you're basically another Mr. McMahon or another Dana White. You're over here. You're thinking about outside the box, and you're trying to get entertainment for the fans. There's definitely people who would watch that.
I'm a visionary.
You are a visionary, man. Yeah, I've always thought that about you, man.
COVID-19 NFL with only COVID-19 positive. So here's my other idea, and this one actually might be a little bit
Sounds like the March Madness almost. COVID-19, March Madness. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So the thing with wrestling, and they did the whole thing with no, and I watched some of it, and they had no crowd, and it was kind of like watch, like you were saying, it really was like, it was quiet. So it was like watching a wrestling soap opera.
It is, yeah.
It's in a TV, more of a TV studio.
The bad wrestlers will get exposed, and the good ones won't. It's just how it is.
Yeah. Did you notice some of that going on?
Yeah, you could see a lot of the people who either are used to feeding off, but it's not a bad negative thing. But you know, you have to feed off the wrestlers. Like if you see them not, you know, not enjoying it, you either like you yell at a fat lady and tell her you shut up, fat lady, or something like that, you know, or just to get the crowd into it. And if you're a bad guy, you know, you talking smack, or you can just keep talking to the wrestler. But also, you know, there's little things, little side things that wrestlers do that you can just kind of like, you're focused on the wrestler, so you're looking at them. Whereas maybe if, during another event with the crowd there, you would be looking around and looking at the fans.
Yeah, looking
seeing
at
the seeing the signs. But now you're looking directly at them. You're going to catch every mistake they do. But, you know, these guys should be professionals, and I've always had respect for that. But for the majority of it, I thought it went pretty well. I mean, I've been kind of tired of the WWE product though recently, but it was still pretty entertaining though.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. It actually could have been, in a way, could have been for people that were getting kind of bored with it. It was something different this year for them.
Oh, it was different, you know, and it was definitely different. Mm-hmm. At first, I'm like, no, there's no way, because I went to WrestleMania a few years back when they held it out in San Jose, where the Niners play, the big stadium. I forget the name of it. But I went out there, and it was outdoor, and I thought that was kind of weird just because it was outdoor, and then we have the Undertaker, who normally comes out in the dark, and now he's coming out during the day, and it just threw it off. So, like, I was like, there's no way you're going to have WrestleMania with no audience. It's just supposed to be the grandest spectacle. You know, it's a Super Bowl of wrestling, basically. So, you know, and they didn't have, like, they usually have somebody like an artist singing. They had Rob Gronkowski hosting it.
I heard that was going to happen. Yeah, so it did happen.
He actually ended up winning the title. It's called the 24/7 title. And basically anyone can win it, and he won it. So it was pretty fun. Huh. Yeah. Anyway, he was fun, though. I thought he was going to, you know, just mess it up or just be, like, weird. But he's actually a wrestling fan, so he was actually genuinely excited. You can see that.
And yeah, he's an entertaining personality.
He is, yeah, and it worked out. It was perfect. Gronk Mania.
Hey, you know, if I had been around, like, if I had been a part, like, working for the NBA back when Magic Johnson became HIV positive, they would have launched an HIV positive NBA with all HIV positive. That Magic wouldn't have had to retire.
No, he didn't. No, that's true.
The first time he retired, he would have been able to stay in because they would have just brought in all players that were HIV positive.
And all his ex-girlfriends that he dated and had to call, they had to be the cheerleaders.
They would have had to be the Laker girls, yeah. That's how you solve that problem. It's all that's how you fix it.
Okay. Well, that's what happens, man. You know, there's herpes dating sites, there's AIDS dating sites, there's, you know, all kind of, you know, might as well get them all together.
Get them
all.
You don't
want to leave them out of things. You want to include them.
Just make a league for them. Just make the league for, you know. Okay, so here's my other idea with what they did with wrestling. I've heard that if we do get baseball and we do get, and I think we're going to get some of it. I don't know when it's going to start, but I think, I believe football and baseball for sure. Basketball, I'm still on the fence whether they're going to get back in time for that, but I certainly hope they do.
I think the basketball has like the fewest games left to go. I mean, they should do it.
Even if they have to start in July and just do a 2 month of everything, just get it done in like July and August.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be, I don't know, rusty, but whatever, man, they're professionals, dude. They can do this.
Well, they give them like 2 weeks to get back in shape before they restart, and then they go back to work. So here's my idea. They had this wrestling without an audience. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if they did, if they got a sponsor, maybe linked up with like Zoom or like a Facebook that does a video chat kind of console kind of you know, thing that you can put in your house where you can video chat and swivels and move. What if they went into like a small auditorium and filled all the front seats with monitors, and then they gave people virtual tickets to be on the screen and see the event? It's like it would be like Skyping the event into fans.
That was actually a concept idea for WrestleMania. They had thought about in the middle. Well, you're watching on TV. They would have Zoom squares like the Brady Bunch kind of around the TV, and you could see the fan reaction as they're watching the stuff. So I can see what you're saying with that. So you could, you know, in the middle, the big square would be the action, and around it would have these squares of fans.
Exactly.
I thought that was a good idea.
Like a room full of max headrooms.
There you go. That would be even cooler. And then you got the fans. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That would be cool. I mean, they have the technology. Where are these robots at? You know, the ones that were like,
right. Yeah, they could have brought in all robots to sit in the stands and be the audience and make this.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of creepy. It would have been kind of Black Mirror-ish, but.
No, but you got that, bro. You see what you did there was you sparked my idea, so it's a great idea. And then you need to be in these boardrooms with these people and whoever designs this. But yeah, I'm all for that.
That's yeah, and they wouldn't even have to pay for it because they could get a tech company to sponsor that.
Yeah, even boxing, I think, is starting to – they're trying to do that too. Have boxing in an empty arena, that would be something cool.
Yeah.
And if you really want it not to be random people, pick the people that you want to be there. Like, you know, I don't know, Oscar De La Hoya, Mike Tyson. Yeah, I'm sure you could pay them some money to have like a robot head Mike Tyson there.
Well, you know, there's a company in Russia that's being sued by Arnold Schwarzenegger for making a robot that looks like him. And taking it around to conventions and stuff as kind of a promotional thing.
Are they calling it T2?
Yeah, they should. It's ironic that it's a robot looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger because that's Terminator. That's basically they made a Terminator. So we are in the future already.
Yeah, man. Good old Arnold.
When art imitates life. Life imitates art.
That's an ex-Californian governor right there.
Yes.
The governor.
The governor.
Hasta la vista, baby.
The governor.
The governor. That's right.
He was down here about 6 months ago, just maybe 9 months ago, but just to eat Texas barbecue. He was in Austin, and he was spotted at a barbecue place eating barbecue.
Oh, man. I was going to ask you, in Texas, how has it been in the restaurants?
Well, you can go to a restaurant, but you can only do curbside. You can only do delivery. I mean, for about a week and a half now, we've been on lock-in order or whatever it's.
Lockdown
orders or whatever. So we've been on the same thing. There's some cool things that came out of it. I mean, there are a few cool things that came out of it. One is they now are allowing restaurants to deliver alcohol to your house, which was not a legal thing before this pandemic. So you can get a margarita delivered to your house right now. In Austin.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's one of the few cool things to come out of all this.
Cool.
The other thing is people have had a lot of time that have been, like myself, have had a lot more time to stay home and watch like movies and TV shows, binge watch some stuff. Speaking of wrestling, I was really watching the first season of GLOW, which is the female wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, yet. I
think you'd like GLOW.
Oh, I would. I know I would. Definitely. I mean, who wouldn't want to see some women wrestling? I mean, I love midgets wrestling. Why not women?
Here's a list. I want to run a list by you. This is from a website called The Film Magazine.
Film Magazine, okay.
The Film Magazine, TFM, their website, thefilmmagazine.com, and they did the top they did the top 10 wrestling movies. I'm going to run a few by you. I know, of course, GLOW, this is something I didn't know about the show GLOW. The show GLOW was actually based off a documentary about the story of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. And it was called, the documentary is actually called GLOW, The Story of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And it came out in 2012. Nacho Libre for a comedy, wrestling movie with Jack Black.
Yeah. Jack Black, my buddy Jack Black.
The one and only Jack Black.
That's usually what people call me because, you know, I'm such of a wrestling head. They call me Nacho Libre because I'm Latino. So, you know, that's my go-to right there. I love that film. It was funny. It was hilarious. And what I like about a good wrestling film is, even if it's funny, Nacho Libre still kind of helped through to like all the wrestling moves. Like they did actual moves, and you know they took it kind of seriously.
They took it a little more seriously than Three Stooges did when they did a wrestling show episode.
Yeah. for sure. But I mean, not that seriously, but you know, they're not making fun of it. Like, you know, I mean, a smart wrestling fan knows that it's all fake and all that, but right. they appreciate the art form. So you appreciate when a movie does a good job of representing what it is. And actually in wrestling more so in Latino, like AAA wrestling and Lucha Libre, it's a lot more serious down there. And it's a lot more intense, different style of wrestling. But yeah, no, I like me some Nacho Libre.
I want to ask you, what was your role? Mm-hmm. Now I know you were doing some work in a regional wrestling league. You used to go to Bakersfield, California. When I used to work with you in L.A., you used to go to Bakersfield, and you were participating mm-hmm. in a wrestling league there in Southern mm-hmm. California. Now, what was going on? Were you actually wrestling, or were you managing somebody?
One of my best friends, Mario, he was training to become a wrestler, and he was a wrestler. Independent wrestler, and we had this backyard wrestling thing a long time ago, and we would wrestle each other, like a bunch of my friends from high school. So I would always love it, but I never really wanted to get into ring. So I'm like, man, that shit looks like it hurts. You know, I'm not trying to jump off. I'm not trying to get hit by over the head with a chair either. But so I was a manager. I was definitely a manager, and I was a bad guy, and he had a mask. His name was Wicked, and I was Bill Sinister, Mr. Sinister. So we had this gimmick going on where we were kind of the bad guys, but I would be the voice for him because he didn't talk, so I would be in the ring. And yeah, we would go up to not so much Bakersfield. That's too high. That's too much of a country. It was a little small town named Porterville, mm-hmm. and it was like in between like these ranches. You know, it was fun, man. We'd drive up there and. It was legit. It was interesting to see, actually, for the first time, the behind the scenes in the wrestling and the indie feds and mm-hmm. you know, that's what we used to do. Different wrestlers have different styles, and I guess in the indie feds, it's not like WWE where they have people who write the storylines. You know, you have to do that all yourself and all that. But
so you come up with the stuff as you are on your own when you're
mm-hmm. and. You just get stuff that you're trying to get over with the fans, and you just go with what works, and you know, and then the certain federation we were in, they would grab other wrestlers from other independent wrestling there and just create shows around L.A., Bakersfield, up and down Fresno, up and down California. So that was fun. It was interesting. And my friend Mario, he was such a fan. Like we wouldn't even get paid to do that stuff. We would just go there. Just because we liked it, you know. I would take like a chair shot here and there, or a wrestling move, because you know I would try to do the old classic break up the match, or try to interfere, uh-huh. and then the other wrestler would get mad at the end, and then at the end I would get like clocked, and the fans would go crazy, and that was my job basically, just to get the fans into it, get everybody into it. So it was fun. I liked it a lot.
What was your persona? Did you have a costume? Did you wear? How did you dress for that?
I was like slacks, very preppy. Uh-huh. I acted like I was cooler than shit. Basically, I was uh-huh. cooler than everybody. I would come into the ring with deodorant, uh-huh. like deodorant spray, and spray it on the crowd because they were stinky.
Oh,
that
nice.
Kind of stuff.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
I was just trying to rile up the crowd and stuff. You know, and they would call me I forgot what they would call me, American Idol. Because I was too preppy, or I was looking too cute. So they're like, get off the stage, American Idol. I was like, shut up, fat man. You know, all that stuff. So it's fun, man, being a bad guy. So when I hear the wrestlers talking about how much they like being a bad guy better than actually the good guy, because you always got to have a good and a bad guy going at each other.
You got to. Yeah, you got to have that.
Yeah. But man, it's no joke, bro. These guys are going out there. They're putting a body on the line. They're trusting each other. It's a dance. They're trusting each other with the moves. They have to help each other out, and I give a lot of respect to them. And it's not for anybody just to go in and think that it's super easy. You're getting moves. You're putting your body on the line. There's a lot of injuries. And a lot of these documentaries on wrestling they highlight a lot of the sad parts of the wrestling, of people getting injured, getting dependent on painkillers, and a lot of wrestlers have these crazy deaths, man, and a lot of stuff happened to them that, you know, they don't really have a good view or a good length good lengthy life. It's always something bad happens to them, a heart attack or something. Just unfortunately. But there's like a drug wellness program now with the main federations, mm-hmm. and hopefully that all stops. But yeah, man, it's a crazy industry. I think wrestlers, they'll tell you themselves that they're not right in the head.
Where's wrestling stand now, like the WWE? Where do they stand on medicinal and having medicinal marijuana use by wrestlers?
I'm not too sure on that. I think they're allowed to do that if it's for medicinal or whatnot. They have some kind of a doctor's notice or whatnot. They can't get fired for that anymore.
You know, really, but I mean, if you go back to the 80s, I mean, yeah. they were doing all kinds of shit. I mean,
oh, yeah, man. I've heard. I'll tell you. Doing cocaine. Lines of cocaine. Jake the Snake Roberts was, he'll tell you all that stuff. Yeah. Ric Flair will tell you how lucky he is to be alive. You know, he's styling and profiling on these jet planes, doing cocaine lines off of, you know, stewardess breasts and stuff. You know, just crazy stories that you know he lived. And he's, every time you see him, he's about to cry because he's happy he's alive.
I heard a story about Macho Man Randy Savage, who was my favorite. He's still my favorite.
Macho Man.
So he used to come in here to my town in Austin, and this is what I heard. Okay, so it's reliable source, and I love
Rumor has it.
And I love Macho Man, so I have nothing but great things to say and think about him. But he used to come into town, and he would he was a little bit of the white dust, you know, was going on.
Okay. Little Sherman Helmsley.
A little something, a little something to keep him, a little.
A little Sharon Stone, you know what I mean?
A little, you know, Coke is it. The new Coke and the old. So he.
Yeah, there's Diet Coke and there's Coke. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so he had a little action going on, and he would show up, and he would have a driver pick him up at the airport when he was in town WWF at the time. He would be in town for an event. Wrestling event, he would have a driver come and pick him up, and as soon as the driver would pick him up, and he had a guy that he liked that was his regular guy, so whenever he was in Austin, this one guy was the guy that would pick him up at the airport, and so
he trusted him.
Yeah, he trusted him. So as soon as he got picked up, first thing he would ask for is, of course, Coke. But then the second thing he would ask for is he wanted to go to Taco Bell, and he would be real adamant about take me straight to Taco Bell, to the drive-through window.
Chalupa.
He's like, he loved Taco Bell and he loved
Taco Bell cocaine
and cocaine.
I love it, man. That sounds like a Macho Man story, man. Throwing a big Slim there.
Throwing a Slim Jim.
Yeah, with a Slim Jim.
After the Taco Bell,
a Slim Jim straw and slip it up. Baby.
But can you imagine him sitting in the back of a limo or back of the car, and he's got his drink and his chalupa or his taco or whatever?
You know what that tells me about Macho Man? That he's a responsible person because he knows he's going to do cocaine and he's not going to get hungry, so he's going to eat and then take care of that body and then do that cocaine. That's my boy.
He had a regimen.
Yeah, he got a regimen. He knew he was doing wrong. Your body's a filter. You do the bad, but you do the good as well.
He was doing it. Yeah, he was. He knew. That's why he had a long career. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he died off of I believe it was a motorcycle crash.
Crazy. Yeah, well, apparently what I had always heard was, he had a heart attack and then it caused his car accident.
Yeah, something like that.
He was driving while, which is terrifying to think about that.
yeah, for sure.
For that to happen is terrible timing to have a heart attack.
He was an intense man.
Yeah, he was intense.
He's probably on his way to Taco Bell. But
probably was. I hope he was on his way back from Taco Bell. So he had.
I hope he had his chalupa before he passed away.
That's what I'm hoping.
His Mexican. I would only hope.
I'm pushing for that. I'm pulling for that. I'm gonna just believe that because that makes me happier to think that he got his chalupa before he died.
Yeah, and then the hot sauce packet. You know how the Taco Bells have the names on it.
I got to have the packet.
It said "Ooh yeah" on the packet, or Madness, one of those two. Madness hot. Yeah, I got you.
Something like that. Okay, here's a couple other movies that were mentioned in the top 10 list: The Resurrection, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake from 2015. As a documentary with Jake the Snake. Now, I haven't seen this whole documentary, but I've seen a few clips of it on YouTube, and it looks amazing.
Jake the Snake's story is very captivating. He was in one of the original. He was in probably the original documentary that WWE actually kind of gave the rights, or they actually were part of making Beyond the Mat. It was called Beyond the Mat, and then Vince McMahon pulled out of it, but then they still released it. So they had a lot of good footage, and they had a lot of, and then Vince Jake the Snake was a big part of that. So the Resurrection was kind of like, it's like a part two of Beyond the Mat with Jake the Snake, though.
Yeah,
and yeah, man, it's such a good. Well, it's a better story because you're thinking he's going downhill on the John the Mat, but now if you see him with the DDP, he's doing a DDP yoga, and DDP, God bless him. DDP has put back a lot of wrestlers that have been going off on different, like Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, Jake the Snake. DDP's the one that's got him into doing his yoga, his DDP yoga, which are basically like wrestling moves and a lot of resistance. I'm actually even started doing it myself, it's pretty cool. And man, God bless that guy. He gets people from not walking to walking again, and turning people around with drug addiction. And,
that's great.
The story with Jake the Snake, man. He's actually in the New Federation, and I told you about AEW, and he's wrestling. He's not wrestling. He's a manager now, and he looks slim. He looks slim.
Good for him.
His promos are on point. Promos are when they talk on the mic and you know, they try to tell stories. So his promos are on point. And man, he's one of the best to ever do it. As far as that, on the mic, he can have you scared and believing something just by his words alone. And he was a good wrestler, so so that's an awesome documentary. Jake the Snake's very interesting.
Tick tock, tick tock, ring the bell. Hell's fixing to break loose. Lance Archer is about to come out here and destroy whatever you boys have cooked up. You see, you played this silly little game with us. He's pissed. Oh, God, is he pissed. And there's some people you shouldn't make mad.
It's you know, whenever these documentaries or these movies or whatnot, they have a good... When you know it's a happy ending, it makes you smile. But a lot of these wrestling ones don't make you smile. But that's a good one. Jake the Snake, thankfully, is doing good right now.
A good example of that is the number one movie on most people's list right now for a while has been The Wrestler, 2005 or 2008 movie.
Mickey Rourke. Yeah, Mr. Mickey Rourke. Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, his life in that movie. That was painfully, I don't know, that made me really sad watching it, but it was a great movie. Top down, Mickey Rourke did a great job. Again, like I told you, when they stay true to the wrestling, I love it. And it totally did. It really dealt with the reality of these wrestlers that really loved, like, they liked the limelight, and that's all you need. And not just wrestling, any sports, that the sound of the crowd is the adrenaline, and you're on top of the world. And that's pretty much what happened when he, at the end of the movie, where, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it, but
yeah.
It's a great movie. I'm sure if you haven't watched it, though.
Oh, I love it. Wrong with you. It's one of my favorite movies. It's one of my favorite movies. Now, I would put it easily in my top 20. Now,
that's a good movie.
Of all time movies, I'd put it in my top 20. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. With that movie revitalized Mickey Rourke.
It did.
It also revitalized Marissa Tomei. And they both end up after that with big roles in Marvel movies.
Oh, man.
As a result.
How does Marissa Tomei, though?
Oh, she's doing great.
She sure is. You know, I used to work at a pharmacy in West Hollywood, and she would get her medicine at my pharmacy, and she's just as beautiful in person, man. She's
Gosh. Did you talk to her?
Yeah, I rung her up. And of course,
Marissa Tomei. Oh, my gosh.
Miss Tomei. I should have. I don't know what she got, but I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I know Gerard Butler had a Cialis waiting on the shelf all the time.
Oh, man.
And Cialis for daily use helps you be ready anytime the moment is right.
Putting him on. I'm sorry, Gerard. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Maybe he's just getting a lot of women, and you know, he's got to keep it up.
That could be. As a man myself that was single at one time, and I had a good stretch, I had a nice run for a while.
I would pop some in just in case.
I had some bad nights because of the night before. Because sure. I went too hard the day before.
I knew mine was working because I was throwing up and I was still kind of, you know, hard.
Oh. Oh man, I better hope that my wife doesn't listen to this. I'm gonna have some.
Sorry, you can go ahead. I mean, what I meant to say was, you know, yeah, Marissa Tomei is beautiful.
She's great. She's great.
She's, sorry about that, Gerard.
Gerard, that's, yeah, sorry, Gerard. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, 300,
hey,
baby.
No, he's just going at it too much. He's just busy. He's staying.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, not wrong with that at all.
Porn stars probably have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
To stay, to keep it, to be able to sustain.
Well, you know, I in the West Hollywood one, it would be funny because it was a very high, a high spot for Adderall.
Yeah.
And Cialis and painkillers. That was it. And of course, you had to come back down. So, like Xanax. So, but you could see every customer that was coming in, what they wanted. The Adderall people were walking really fast.
You knew what they were coming in for when they came in.
Oh, yeah. The painkillers, they would come in, start limping. You know, all that stuff. It was funny.
It's like, oh, yeah, you're here for your painkillers, aren't you?
Oh, those are the worst, man. They were forced. Force their prescriptions, you know, because you don't get any refills.
Yeah,
we'd have to call the doctors, make sure. It's like this doctor Skavorkian, whatever. It's the made up doctors they would have make up. It was pretty interesting and funny. I was like, whatever. I was that much of a prick, though. The majority of the people needed their stuff, but people have their chemical differences in their head, man. People do need medicine.
Everybody needs a medicine of some kind, whether it's chocolate or cocaine or Taco Bell. They all need, they have something.
You know, I wonder how many Americans actually function off cocaine normally. Because, you know, there's people that they need that, like their coffee. I think coffee is just as bad if you depend on coffee, to be honest.
It can get there. I know people that have become like serious caffeine addicts where it
not
was
bad
like,
as far as for your health, but like people, you know, you get addicted, you have withdrawals, you get headaches, you get all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be best not to do that, I think, but you know, it is what it is.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, and it's appropriate because we're talking wrestling today. I wanted to ask you before we wrapped up about you were on an E! True Hollywood Story, and I found this out. We were just talking the other night, and you told me you were actually on the Hulk Hogan episode of E! True Hollywood Story, which I love that E! True Hollywood Story. I used to watch those.
Yeah, it was great.
Those were great. Now, you were on the Hulk Hogan. You were on there as a Hulkamaniac talking about your passion for Hulk Hogan. Now tell me about that.
Well, MySpace was when. Remember MySpace? Good old MySpace.
Good old MySpace.
Good old MySpace was around.
It was after Friendster, but before Facebook.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And you had your top eight or whatever. I created a fan page for Hulkamaniacs, just as a fan page, and then I kind of pushed it away. Didn't do too much on it, but you could. It was a group where you can join, and it became kind of big. Mm-hmm. And one of the producers from, I forget what year it was, 2008, I think, around there, hit me up, reached out through the page and asked me if I'd be interested in talking about Hulk Hogan. They're doing an E! True Hollywood Story on him. And I was like, what? This has got to be a joke. And then, sure enough, we set a date. They came over. The day after my birthday, we had decided on the day, and of course, the night before, I end up getting really, you know, I celebrated my birthday. In other words,
yeah, you celebrated.
I did. I sure did. Cialis and Coke. Yeah, right. So I wake up with a tent, pitching a tent.
Yeah.
And outside the apartment, I see the e-truck. I'm like, oh snaps! This is actually happening. And meanwhile, one of my friends is drunk on the floor, in the kitchen floor.
Oh boy.
We threw somebody else in the closet. It was a kind of like a studio apartment. So it was really small.
Yeah.
So we set up, they came in with the lights and everything. I was like, oh man, this is really happening. I'm still drunk. And then we shot the interview for about 2 hours, and man, I don't remember any of the interview, and they ended up using only about 15 seconds of it, but I was okay with that because Goldberg got 15 seconds too, and I was like, well, if he got 15 seconds, I'm okay with that.
Hey, so, you're right there. Yeah, you're right there with Goldberg.
I am right there, yeah, and I'm enshrined. Sure enough, all my friends were hitting me up and calling me, and they're like, what the hell? And yeah, but I basically, my line was that, you know, Hulkamania is the red and yellow that runs through your veins, and you know it's it's getting up when you're down, and fighting for what you believe in. And that's basically what came out with a little montage. I came out on the screen, and it was a montage of him hitting the big boot, and it was right after they gave the whole story of him like starting off in Rocky III, and then how that kind of just threw him into the everybody's home and Hulkamania, and that's where I came in, and that was it. And then I had an IMDb page after that, and I was pretty proud about it. But then he started doing all this stupid stuff on his personal life, like being a racist and having sex with his getting caught with all this stuff on his personal life. Yeah, I'm like, oh, this guy. I'm like, man.
So you're kind of embarrassed to be on the Eat True Hollywood Story after that.
I'm not embarrassed with the thing, but I'm like, oh man, I just got tired of defending him a little bit.
Because you became kind of known as one of the Hulkamaniacs from being on that show, and then all this stuff happens. He gets some bad publicity. He says a racial slur, kind of embarrassing. He got kind of banned for a while from wrestling.
They finally let him back in. It's kind of like seeing your one of your best friends is fucking up. You're like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
I ended up meeting him. He signed one of his book signings, and he was cool. He was really cool in person. He's a cool guy, man. He's just human like everybody else.
Yeah, no, I he's still a very likable guy. I mean, he made a mistake. He shouldn't have said that. Yeah. He shouldn't have thought that either. But then you know he has done a lot of good things too. He's a very likable. He's one of the people that are just sort of likable people. You know, you kind of, even though, you know, they're not perfect, they do some things that you do like about him as well. And I used to watch the reality show as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like Michael Jackson. Well, not that situation, but it's, I don't know how do you do it, but how you deal with stuff. But do you, when somebody or the artist does something bad, do you separate the art versus the person? I try to do that with people, but like when it's obviously if it's something really bad, you know. But like with Hogan, it's not the person himself; it's more the persona that he had, and the excitements he gave me throughout the years. You know, sports gives you these memories, and that's what it is. So you know, and Michael Jackson with his songs is like, man, should I be listening to these songs? You know, should I be saying that when I'm walking down the street and look at me weird?
Should I be moonwalking and grabbing my crotch?
Yeah, should I be doing all that? Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't even know if Michael Jackson should have been grabbing his crotch. That's even questionable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know? And then you got Cosby over there, too. Like, man, all these heroes are just messing up things, man. You know, what's going on?
This is my thing. On the Hulk Hogan thing, I've forgiven him, and I've now I enjoy Hulk Hogan again.
Right. And the WWE has as well, and they reinstated him.
Yeah. He paid his dues and he came back. Yeah. He paid his debt. The Michael Jackson thing was tough, but I can separate the performer definitely from what he did. I think that the thing is the music, the actual work is so strong, it's hard to give it up. Like what they
it is.
What they
yeah. And we got R. Kelly too. I could give him up though. I'm like, all right, man.
Well, the R. Kelly thing is different for me than say like the Bill Cosby. And here's how that thing is different with R. Kelly. Okay. R. Kelly, it was very on brand with him for all the things that he got in trouble with. For me, it wasn't a huge shocker. All this stuff that came out
that he was pissing on girls. Yeah,
it wasn't a huge shocker. Right. I mean, did you listen to some of the lyrics and some of his songs? Where people were paying attention, he actually was telling you what he was doing in his songs, and so he had no like it was out in the open. I'm not defending what he did because that's not right what he did, but I'm just saying it wasn't something like where I have trouble. Same thing with Louis C.K. For me, I'm not surprised he used to pull his pants out, pants down, and masturbate in front of women. That seemed very on brand to me. I'm not saying that it was right that he did that.
Yeah, that's I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. How about Kevin Spacey?
You know, actually, you know, he played all these really seedy guys in these movies.
That's true.
Again, it seems like the characters he played in his movies was kind of a asshole. Kind of a seedy character. I think he was playing himself. We just found out later that he actually was playing himself in those movies, and that's why he was so good at it.
Oh, man, that's just scary.
But Bill Cosby is tougher because his show...
Talking about Pudding Pops.
Pudding Pops, yeah. And it's so wholesome, and it's the Cosby Show. To
and
me,
he
that's
such a big part of minorities on TV and showing them in the right light and all
right.
that good stuff.
Right.
You know, it's... Yeah, you know he did some good, but also... Apparently he was a good barista as well, mixing drinks.
He liked to mix those drinks, didn't he? He should have been not on the Cosby Show, but he should have been on Cheers instead.
There you go.
He was on the wrong NBC Thursday night must see TV show.
Knows your name. Yeah, that's my show.
Should have been a crossover. They should have had a crossover episode where Cliff Huxtable goes over to the Cheers and works as a bartender for one episode and.
Takes over. What's this guy's name?
Woody.
Takes over Woody's job
for like one episode. I'm Dr. Cliff at Huxtable, and I'm in Boston for a medical seminar, and I wanted to tend bar for a couple hours.
And everybody around the bar start getting sleeping. They don't know why.
You know, like,
what's going on?
What's this? What's in this drink? What did you put in this, Dr. Huxtable?
Said grape drink, man.
Yeah. Oh boy.
You know, but before I forget, I just want to make a point on the on Hulk Hogan. He said something else, I think today or yesterday.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see on the news that he doesn't believe, and linking it to what we started talking in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
He made a comment about COVID-19 that he doesn't think there should be a vaccine, or he thinks that it's an act of God.
Really?
Yeah. He just said that. He went on and oh man, hold on, let me see. Yeah, if you look it up, he said something about the, you know,
breaking news up in this place.
God said, "You want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it to where you can't go." To a church, he's saying that he's saying, "Word up, can you handle the truth, my brother? Only love HH in 3 short months, just like he did in the plagues of Egypt. God has taken away everything we worship." He's getting kind of crazy over there with the stuff he's saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a Bible thumper at all, but I know like some people say, "Oh, the Bible does talk about the plague." So I don't know. There was also one of the Kardashians, I think, had said something sort of like what Hulk is hitting on about that it was a punishment that it was in the Bible and had mentioned some stuff about that. So
yeah, he said maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival, or we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters: Jesus. Okay.
Well,
all right then.
Well, and for people that are, I mean, there's everybody's different. I mean, there's so many different religions around in the world, and not everybody has the same Jesus or the same thing that they worship. I mean, and if you're you know, whether it's a Buddhist, I guess Buddhists worship a baby Buddha, and then Tom Cruise, a Scientologist, I guess they worship like, what do they worship? Scientology.
I don't know. Aliens or something.
Aliens or some UFO stuff. So everybody's got something different. And if you're an atheist, but I think I think one thing, there's something I can extract from that, that there is something in that that I can extract that is would apply for everybody, is that, yeah, it does give you an opportunity to sort of, like for me, staying at home has given me a chance to spend more time with my family. And that's what's important, is your loved ones. And
that's so true.
For everybody is family. Your friends.
It's throwing it back old school, where you used to do puzzles at home and shit, and you know, and just have quality time. You might get a little bored of each other, but you know, at least you still have your phone.
Yeah, and there's a couple people that try to kill each other. I mean, that's happened.
Yeah,
that's happening right now. But
I saw this meme about something about how lawyers are looking after. In 1 month, and it had this lawyer's face just smiling about a divorce lawyer. You might have a lot of divorce after this, but
man, those guys are just waiting to swoop in, aren't they?
That's what I mean. Oh man,
they're already planning for how big busy they're going to get after all this.
Yeah, but you know, it supposedly can hit anybody. You have all these, I know, a large majority of, you know. cases are elderly people that are passing away, but you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. Are you into country music a lot or no?
I'm into it a little. I like older country, like the older stuff.
Me too. I started getting into it actually.
You know, Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, stuff
Merle
like,
Haggard.
Yeah, Merle Haggard and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What the one thing it didn't take away from us though was Netflix and the Tiger King.
I haven't checked that out yet, man. I want to.
You got to check out Tiger King.
It was on there. It's something about whatever's trending that I try not to do right away, and then I'll see it. But it's calling my name every time I click on Netflix.
It's called. You know, I held off a few weeks on that myself.
Yeah.
But I was like, why did I get to this? Why did it take me so long to get to this? Once I got there, and I was in like the second or third episode, man, I was like, why did it take me so long?
So it's a guy in a zoo. He's like a lion tamer or whatever. Or what's going on?
Well, there's a lot going on. I don't want to even. I just want you to just enjoy it.
I'll check it out.
It's as it's happening.
I see a lot of memes. I'll check it out.
Yeah, you probably got a few ideas already with the memes and stuff.
Yeah, I got it. I'll check it out. That, you know, probably have me a little cocktail and watch it. It'll be fun.
That's what you got to do. My friend Billy from L.A. joining me on this Thunder Pop Extra. And I want to thank you for coming on. And let's do it again sometime, man. Let's do it again soon.
No problem, bro.
I can't believe it's taking me this long to get you in here and get you on here.
No problem, man. Anytime, I'll keep you updated. We'll stay on the phone. Appreciate
you're always super entertaining to talk to. So I was like, why is it taking me this long to get you on one of my podcasts?
Hey, man, no problem. Podcast sounds like a conversation to me between me and you. We always have something good going on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, man, you take care. I'm thinking about you.
Yourself.
I'm thinking about you all over there in California, and my love and positive energy to you and your family.
No problem, man. I appreciate it. We're taking it day by day, and we're staying safe. And, you know, it's the hardest thing is dealing with everything, but you have to have that faith, whether it's God, mm-hmm. or just that things will work out. And that's what I do. I do feel that way. And that's, you know, it's not a sad time. We're taking this and we're fighting. We just all got to keep fighting and do our part. Simple as that.
Absolutely.
And be there for each other, man. So give me a call whenever you want. Thank you for the time and I appreciate it, brother.
Hey, man, don't be a stranger. Let's talk soon.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Fight for your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a taste of it a little earlier on here on Saturday night's main event when the madness met the mania. I am talking about Macho Madness and Hulkamania, two mega powers beating here tonight. Hulk Hogan, what is happening?
Well, you know me, Gene, we really don't know what we're dealing with here, man. And I'm just kind of a little worried about locking up here.
It's all right.
Because we just might blow the whole planet up, you know.
I lied.
And Thunder Pop is a Hit the Bricks production.
Hashtag Thunder Pops. Man, that was an hour. Go ahead and trim that up.
That's a Thunder Pop extra. Not extra.
Yeah, bro.